The problem with problem solving. Today's episode touches on a number of different areas in our lives, including our work, our day-to-day work, our careers, you know, more high level, but also applies to our day-to-day life outside of our work and our professional endeavors. It applies to our relationships. It applies to how we approach having fun in our hobbies, et cetera, et cetera. And what I am talking about here is making a shift from focusing on problem solving to a whole new focus that is going to help you be an even more badass leader and inspire even more people. And it's going to help you create even more fun and joy and ludicrous, lucrative prosperity and gratitude and all of the wonderful things that we want for you in your life. So, if you're open to shifting away from problem solving, because you want more of all these things in your life, you want more of what you want, then stay tuned. Welcome to the People Stack podcast, where I share insights on how to upgrade your career as a technical leader. I'm Jen Funk. I am a career coach and co-CEO of the People Stack, along with my husband, Rob Allen. If you'd like to find out more about what we do here at the People Stack, please check out our free training at training.thepeoplestack.com. You're going to learn the four strategic and mindset shifts that our clients have used to command 300, 400, 500K plus salaries as tech leaders while living lives of abundance, freedom, and joy. And now, without further ado, please enjoy today's episode. What's the problem with problem solving? So this is something that we notice a lot with our clients and being humble with ourselves as well. Look, guilty as charged here, guilty as charged. And what am I guilty of? What are you guilty of? What are we all guilty of from time to time in our lives, in our work lives, in our lives outside of work, in our relationships? We're all guilty of focusing too much on the problem and not enough on the solution, on the actual solution. So what I invite you to do today is empty your cup in terms of anything that you were previously taught or have learned or think works in terms of problem solving. I want you to empty your cup and be open. That's my invitation to you, is an openness to focusing on the real solution. And I'm going to peel the layers back on all of this so that you can really catch what I'm pitching here and really completely and totally and fully make this shift from focusing on the problem to focusing on the solution. And I also want you to empty your cup around anything else that you've ever heard around, oh yeah, like I've heard this before. Many of you have heard this before. Don't focus on the problem, focus on the solution. I'm saying that, but not really. So again, please, you know, scratch the record, empty the cup, be beginner's mind here. It's kind of like pretend that you have encountered a problem for the first time in your life. What's actually the best way to solve it? And then we go from there. So I realize there's a bit of irony in what I titled this episode, The Problem with Problem Solving, because what I'm asking you to do is focus less on the problem and more on the solution. So I'm doing this kind of tongue in cheek by saying there's a problem with problem solving, but actually, what we want to do is shift here. Now, where do we want to shift to? We want to shift to focusing, orienting ourselves toward the solution. Now, this is easy to say generally in theory, to talk about it at a high level, but it's harder to do when an actual problem comes our way. So let me give you an example here, and it's an example that will likely resonate for many of you because you may have encountered this or a very similar problem in your workplace, or at least you know someone who has and you've helped them through it. So what we want you to do, what I'm encouraging you to do, what I'm inviting you to do is focus, orient yourself towards the solution. Here's the scenario where I'm inviting you to do that. You work, as most of you do, in a workplace. It could be virtual, it could be non-virtual, or some combination thereof, actually doesn't matter. And you are in a leadership position where you are leading one of your team members. So the focus here is one of your team members. And your team member is playing a very pivotal role in a particular project right now. And this particular team member is underperforming. This particular team member is not showing up the way that he usually does, and is not like showing the go-getter attitude that he normally would. There's definitely been a change in behavior and a change in results, unfortunately, because of it. And this is kind of pissing you off. Because why is this person suddenly not performing when he has been? And maybe you do have a bit of empathy for this person and you want to take ownership, but you're also like, part of you is kind of like, why can't you just go back to the you used to be? You're not saying this to the person, but you're thinking it. Like, what's going on here? You know, what happened? You know, maybe, and let's also assume that we know that there's nothing going on in this person's life outside of work that might be affecting this, you know? So this person is, you're relatively close with this person, and it's not that, right? It's just that they're showing up differently at work. And you don't know why, and it's kind of pissing you off. So you go to talk to your boss about it. And your boss might be a higher C level or a VP or something like that. And you go to your boss and you say, yeah, you know, whatever this person's name is, Bob, Bill, Joe, is, and you say the things. You say, Joe's pissing me off. I'm very disappointed in Joe. He's underperforming, and he is not showing the go-getter attitude that he normally is. And I'm really wondering about what to do here. And your boss says, well, okay, tell me more. Tell me more about what's going on here. I haven't noticed it, but maybe it's probably something that I wouldn't notice. I'm not as close with Joe, Bob, Bill as you are. Well, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, to give you an example, I went to him yesterday to ask for an update on the project status, and he was like, nope, we're not there yet. And I was like, well, I need more information than that. I need to go report it to my boss. Yeah, so that's really where we're at. I'll have an update for you later on, but we're not there yet. And like normally Joe would like give me a whole bunch of details, and Joe would tell me that we're at stage 5 of 7, and he would explain what's going on, and he would explain what resources he needs. And he's just giving me these, like, not one word, but like he's giving me these one sentence answers. And so your boss goes, okay. So what do you think is really going on here? This is very interesting. yeah, I don't know what's really going on here. Like, I don't think there's anything going on at home with Bill Bob Joe, but, you know, it's entirely possible that, you know, he has talked about in the past how his relationship with his wife is getting a little bit rockier, and I don't know, you know, like, it's possible that they're fighting. It's happened in the past, you know. Maybe they're fighting, and gosh, then that means he's going to be more stressed, you know, so it could be what something was going on at home. It also could just be the stress of this project, you know. This project is, like, really, really stressful, and it may be weighing on him. But it's also just, yeah, I don't know. Like, he just doesn't seem to be himself lately, and maybe he's going through some existential crisis. Who knows, right? And so then your boss goes, yeah, I wonder if we can get to the root cause of this problem. Yeah, it's, maybe we could talk a little bit more about it. So you talk a little bit more, trying to get to the root cause of what's wrong with Bill Bob Joe. And then, you know, after talking about, you know, here's what's not working with this person, and here's some potential, you know, what's going on with Joe, what's, you know, what's underneath the hood, then your boss says, all right, okay, well, what do you think we should do here? What actions do you think we should take? You know, what are going to be the steps moving forward? Well, and you might go, well, that's a tough one. You know, I think putting him on a PIP is probably a bit, you know, over the top, you know, but it has been going, it's been going on for a while. And, you know, I really want to give him a wake-up call, and I think Joe can take it. I'm not gonna put him on a PIP. No, certainly not yet. That doesn't feel like the right thing to do. But I might dangle the idea that he's underperforming, and that it's really, and that it's his responsibility to perform better again. I think we should, you know, appeal to his sense of wanting to do a good job, because he has in the past. So yeah, I'll have a chat with him, and I'm gonna make it really, really clear that it's his responsibility to, you know, get in shape, you know, get his performance back up to par. That sounds great. There we go. And then you guys give yourself, like, a high five. Look at us solving problems. Now, that right there is the problem with problem solving. And many of you may see it so clear as day because you're not attached to this problem. It's a hypothetical problem. And you also may have experienced these kinds of things before at work. And you may just see right through, like, why this is not the ideal approach to problem solving, especially when it comes to solving problems when it comes to people, but even when it comes to tech as well. So here's what I want to explain. Here's why this is not the ideal way to approach this. And I also want all of you to just for a moment acknowledge how many conversations you've had on both sides of it, you playing you and you playing the boss, where you focus on, here's what's not working, and I need even more detail about what's not working, and let's get to the root cause of the problem, let's do a root cause analysis here, and then let's figure out the solution. We've all had these conversations exactly like this. Focusing on the solution means focusing on the desired outcome and the desired results and the desired experience. Focusing on the solution does not mean focusing on complaining about, adding fuel to the fire of what's not working. You notice how that happened here. And the boss added more fire. Tell me more about what's not working with Joe. Tell me more. It's an invitation to complain, and you'll happily do it. We've all done this. Be gentle with yourself. Be grateful for yourself. Be grateful for the clarity here. Be loving of yourself. We've all done this. We've all invited people to complain even more about what the problem is after we've already identified it. Tell me more about what's not working. Tell me more about how this sucks. We've invited other people to do it, and we've done it ourselves without the invitation. This is not focusing on the solution. What's also not focusing on the solution is finding the root cause of the problem. I'm going to say something really bold here, because a lot of us have attached our personal identity, our professional identity, to being problem solvers, and part of the reason why we think we're amazing problem solvers is we can get to the root cause of the problem. And I'm here to tell you, with love, with clarity, and with an opportunity to expand, to be an even more amazing, inspiring leader, that finding the root cause of the problem is not focusing on the solution. Finding the root cause of the problem is not required to create an amazing solution. It's not required. Can it be helpful? Sometimes, maybe, but often it is more hurtful than helpful. Notice in this situation, maybe an extreme example, trying to find the root cause of the problem, we've now sort of unofficially diagnosed poor Bill Bob Joe with having an existential crisis, being on the verge of burnout, and also being on the verge of divorce, none of which may actually be true. So this is what I'm saying. How often do we do this? That trying to find the root cause of the problem actually makes us focus more on what? The problem. Not the solution, remember. The solution is the desired outcome. It's the desired experience. It's what success looks and feels like. Digging the root cause of the problem just makes you dig more into the problem and what's not working. Also, focusing on the solution does not mean focusing on the steps to get there. Focusing on the solution does not mean focusing on the how. Often we jump there too soon. There is a time and a place to talk about strategy and tactics. In other words, the how. How do we help Joe? But you notice how, in this conversation here, in this hypothetical conversation, which mirrors many of the conversations that so many of us had, we never identified what is it that we want? What is the desired outcome here? What is the solution? And then just automatic, and without even doing that, went to the how. Ah, here's the steps. I need to have a talk with him, and I need to scare him a little bit in a good way. In what world is that actually going to be helpful? And the reason that you came up with that, and we've all done this, the reason that the actor in this particular scenario came up with it is because it was coming from the energy of focusing on the problem and the anger and maybe even the resentment and the confusion that I was feeling about Joe. And so if you craft a solution from a place of a disempowering emotion, like anger or resentment or even confusion or sadness or worry or anxiety, if you try to craft a solution from that place, the solution is going to have it's going to be riddled with the energy of that emotion. It's going to have the emotional overtones, and we don't want the solution to have disempowering overtones. We want the solution to be empowering. We want the solution to work. We don't want it to create more problems. And when you focus on the problem, when you focus on what's not working, when you focus on the root cause of the problem, when you focus on here's how we get there from the place of the problem, and you come up with a solution, guess what? That solution is just going to create more problems. That's the truth. That's the truth. So what does focusing on the solution actually look and sound and feel like? We're going to go back to the same example here. So remember, focusing on the solution means focusing on the desired outcome. It means focusing on the desired experience, the results, the win. What do we want instead? So we're going to come back. We're going to imagine, let's put ourselves back into the scenario now. I'm Joe's boss. I'm talking to my boss, and I come to him and I say, yeah, So this is ideally when two people who are 100% solution-oriented actually go and orient themselves toward a solution and move themselves one step closer to that solution. This is what it sounds like. Both of them are doing that. So I might come and I would say, hey, boss, I want to talk to Joe. I want to talk about Joe for a second. Yeah, sure. What's the problem? Well, the problem, put really succinctly, is that Joe is underperforming and he's simply not showing up like his badass self. All right, got it. That's great. All right, cool. So what's the desired outcome here? Pause. Notice here, we're going straight to the desired outcome. We know what the problem is. The problem is Joe is underperforming and he's not showing up like his badass self. That's the problem. We don't need to dig into and beat the drum of that problem any more than that. Look, when there is a problem, it's really easy to solve. Okay? They're really easy to identify. You do not need to keep getting into the weeds of what the problem is. That's the problem. Focus 5% on the problem, 95% on the solution. That's what I'm saying, basically. Okay, so going back to the scenario here. Okay, got it. So what's the desired outcome here? Yeah, so really, I want Joe to get back to his badass self. What I want for Joe is I want to see the results, certainly, but we know that how we're going to get the results is by helping Joe get his mojo back, because I have the perception that Joe has lost his mojo a little bit. Okay, great. How do we crank up the mojo from an 8 or a 7 back up to a 10 for Joe? And actually, you know what? If I'm being 100% honest, I want Joe to be more than a 10. Like, he was doing great before. I want him to do even better than that. Because there's a part of me that knows that Joe is even more, has even more potential than we maybe can even see. You know? I don't know if it's, maybe it's a promotion for Joe. Pause. How weird might that be, right, compared to the other conversation? Like, Joe's underperforming, let's give him a promotion. But this is what focusing, we didn't say let's do that, right? But this is what why it might feel weird in the beginning to focus on the desired outcome. We're focusing on what we want instead. Okay, play again. Yeah, maybe we give Joe a promotion. I don't know. Because I think that he has, like I said, so much potential. He's an amazing human. He is able to connect with people, and he is able to recognize patterns, and he is just amazing at what he does. And normally, with the exception of the past couple weeks or so, he's a really happy-go-lucky guy, and we love hearing his stories, and we love hearing his jokes, and we love seeing himself as this like boisterous self. And then the boss says, yeah, you know, I want that Joe too. And I absolutely agree with you that what's possible for Joe is what's even better than what he did before. An even higher level of performance, an even higher level of impact. And I think it means that we're all gonna benefit from it and we're all gonna have more fun along the way as well. Okay, great, awesome. So what do you think the next action is here? All right, so clearly I need to talk with Joe. I'm gonna talk with Joe. And I'm gonna let him know that we see great things for him in the future. And we want great things for him in the future. And I'm gonna ask him from a place of pure transparency and pure love what's been going on the last couple of weeks. And we're gonna have an open and honest conversation about it. And I'm gonna let him know what we just said. And I'm gonna let him know what you said too, because I know he's gonna really love that you see him that way too. Okay, that sounds great. Keep me posted. That's what focusing on the solution sounds like. That's what focusing on the solution from a place of wanting to create a better future for everyone. Without jumping to conclusions, without getting too much in the weeds of the negative and what's not working, from a place of neutrality, from a place of love. From a place of let's soar together. That's what it sounds like. And notice how much easier it felt And how much easier that conversation with Joe is going to be, too. So many times it's like, we need to tell him he needs to be responsible. And that's just coming, that's coming from a place of anger and resentment and like one downing someone else, not neutrality. But instead, if it's like, hey, Joe, brother, friend, teammate, whatever you call Joe, I want to help. What's been going on the last couple of weeks? As opposed to, you've been underperforming and you must be take responsibility for that. WTF is that? You know what I mean? And look, I get it. This is what a lot of the leadership training that we've gone through has trained us to do. Make your people take responsibility. If they're underperforming, you need to tell them to take complete ownership. Look, yeah, we're talking about complete ownership here, but not from a place of this sort of like tight, disempowering, contracting, you're my way or the highway kind of thing. It's more of a, I'm going to take ownership for what I see and what I understand in my experience, and I'm going to invite you to do the same. Whoa, look at that. How much more fun and amazing is that on all levels? That's what solutioning really sounds like when it works. So look, I know that a lot of you, so what I'm asking you to do is shift from problem solving to solution orienting. Even the word problem solving, there's a problem with it because it's focused on the problem, right? The more we focus on the problem, what are we going to create more of? The problem. So instead of like focusing on problem solving, even as the term that we use here, I'm inviting a collective shift, not just in tech, but in our entire lives, to instead of saying and thinking and vibing and beating the drum of problem solving, how about we beat the drum and connect with the idea and the actions and the beliefs around solution orienting, shift from problem solving to solution orienting. Now look, I know a lot of you have created an identity for yourself as a problem solver. And, I don't know that I want to do this because I'm a professional problem solver. I solve problems that other people can't solve for a living. That's where a lot of my professional identity is. That's where a lot of my confidence lies. I can't just give that up. I'm not asking you to give it up. I'm asking to give yourself a promotion from problem solver to solution creator. You're not just a problem solver anymore. Stop demoting yourself unintentionally. You are a solution creator and you deserve that promotion because solution creators inspire. Solution creators are visionaries. Solution creators create a culture of creating even more of what we want and what we didn't even think possible. Give yourself that promotion from a problem solver to a solution creator. What I'm also asking you to do is stop beating yourself up and stop beating other people up for making mistakes. It's your need to be right. That's why you're beating yourself up and you're beating other people up. You want to be right about the root cause of the problem. You want to be right about the actual nature of the problem. You want to be right about how you solve it. That's why we often jump to solving a problem before we even identify what we want the solution to be. We want to be right. And a lot of our identity and our personal certainty and confidence comes from that need to be right. What I'm inviting you to do is let go of that need to be right. And that's how you're going to stop beating yourself up and beating other people up too. There's no right here, definitely in leadership. There's no right or wrong. There's simply an action and consequences. So stop beating yourself up, stop beating other people up for making mistakes, and stop arguing with the reality that that mistake happened. Because what often happens here is, Joe shouldn't be acting this way. Well, is that true? Well, no, he shouldn't. He's capable of way more. He really shouldn't be acting this way. And is he acting this way? Well, yeah, he is, but he shouldn't. What you're doing there is you're arguing with reality. Joe is acting this way. This team member is acting this way. This tech is acting this way. Do you want to keep arguing that it shouldn't be? Do you want to keep arguing that it shouldn't be breaking? Or do you simply want to accept that it is? It's happening. Joe's acting this way. This thing is broken. All right, what's the desired outcome? What are the success metrics? What's the experience that we want to have as we move toward that win? Those are the questions that a professional solution creator focuses on. Not, tell me more about the problem, let's get to the root cause of the problem, and how do you think we should fix it? Those aren't helpful. So stop beating yourself up. When you see a toddler, you know, so picture, I don't know, toddler around 1 year old, just learn how to walk. You know, have you ever seen anybody's first steps? Oh man, it's amazing. Whether it's in video that you've seen it, or whether you've had the pleasure of seeing it in person. Watching somebody's first steps is amazing. That little toddler isn't hanging on to anything, and they take a step, and then they take another step, and then what happens? They fall down. And then what do we say to them? We don't say, get up, you little dummy. We accept that that's what happens. We don't make them wrong. We don't one down them. No, we're like, oh my goodness, they're walking. How amazing is this? So remember that when you are talking to yourself and when you're talking to team members when mistakes happen. Even when mistakes happen over and over and over again, they shouldn't keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. All right. You can get angry about it. You can get resentful about it. You can get worried about it. Is that going to help you create a sustainable, amazing solution? The anger, that resentment, that worry, that fear is not. Okay. They keep making the same mistake over and over again. Got it. What do I want instead? I don't want them to be making the same mistake over and over again. I want them to show up like their badass selves. I want them to see the best way forward. And often in these conversations, what you're labeling as a mistake actually isn't one. Because when you can approach these conversations from a place of, I want what's best for you, and what I'm noticing is that you're making this mistake, and I want what's best for you. And then that opens up a conversation where the other person can say, oh, that's interesting. What are you labeling as a mistake? This, that, and the other thing. Oh, well, that's interesting. I don't see it as a mistake. I see it as doing it right. What you see as a bug, I see as a feature. Oh, okay. It's like, enlighten me. What shift do I need to make? Right? And that can happen on both ends, too. Often we actually agree with one another way more than we think we are. They're wrong. They're saying the problem is that, and I'm saying the problem is that, when actually you're just talking past one another and it's just different interpretations of what the problem is. Yep, there's a problem. Here's my interpretation of the problem. Here's my interpretation of the problem. Great, we have a problem here. Great, there's our 5%. Now what do we want to happen instead? What's the outcome? What's the experience? What are the win metrics? That's how you do it. That's how you do it. And this applies at work. It applies in your career as well. How much are you focused on what's not working in your career? We want you to identify that there's a problem, because if you don't identify that there's a problem, then you're not going to take any action to get toward what you want instead. What I'm not saying here is to stick your head in the sand and pretend that everything's hunky-dory. Not saying that. Many of you are listening to this because there is a problem in your career. What I'm saying is don't focus on that so much. What I'm saying is you've accepted that there is a problem in your career. You're underpaid, you're overworked, you're underrecognized, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the problem. That's the 5%. Okay, great. What do you want instead? But if you keep focusing on, oh my God, I'm underpaid. What does that lead to? And here's all the ways that I've been underpaid. And here's how much I've been underpaid. What does that lead to? Resentment, anger, fear, guilt, anxiety. I'm overworked. Here's how much I'm overworked. Here's how much time I don't have. What does that lead to? Stress, overwhelm, burnout. So we want you to see that there's a problem, which is why we focus on that some of the time when we're speaking to you, because we know that some of you don't even think that there's a problem. We need to realize that there's a problem because you're not going to solution it if you don't think that there's a problem. And for some of you, maybe there isn't a problem and you're just inspired by the words I'm using. That's cool too. That's cool too. But if there is a problem, we want you to recognize that there is one. We're not asking you to put on the blinders and be la, 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 everything's great. No, it's not what I'm saying here. But just recognize how much you're focused, what percentage of the time in different areas of your life, including your career, what percentage of the time are you focused on the problem versus the solution, the real solution, the desired outcome, the high vibing, high flying, this is amazing dream. How much are you focused on the dream versus how much are you focused on the problem in your career, in your relationships, in your life outside of work, in your hobbies, and the way that you eat? How much are you beating yourself up because I'm not eating well, and here's all the ways that I'm not eating well, and I eat crap, and I eat too much fat, and I don't eat the right kinds of protein or eat the right kinds of carbs? And how much are you focused on that versus here's what I want for myself? Here's this delicious, nutritious, amazing, yummy, onolicious, like they like to call it in Hawaii, food. What percentage of the time are you focused on the problem versus the real solution, which we call the dream? And if you're focusing on the problem any more than 5% of the time, there's a shift that's available for you to make. Shift toward focusing on the solution and the dream and the win even more. If you're focused on the problem 0% of the time, then that either means there's not an actual problem, which is actually the case a lot of times, or you might be hiding it, and that's something to take a look at as well. Because if something feels off and something feels wrong and you're hiding it and you're not even taking a look at it and acknowledging it and accepting it, that is something to solution as well. We are professional solution creators, my friends. Give yourself that promotion. Focus on what it is you want 95% of the time. And I promise you that when you make that shift, very often, the solution just comes to you. It takes care of itself. And if there's any action that you need to take, it's easier. It doesn't feel like work. It's more fun. And that's what I want for all of you. More fun, more fulfillment, more deliciousness, both in the food that you eat and every other area of your life as well. More delight, more bliss, more joy, more things to be grateful for. That's what I want for all of you. And if that's what you want for yourself and what I'm saying is resonating, you know how to reach out. thepeoplestack.com/book. We'll have a conversation around the problem in your career. We're gonna identify it, just so that you can know what it is and have some clarity about it. And then we're gonna talk about the solution. In other words, we're gonna talk about where you wanna go. We're gonna talk about your dream. And if it's a fit to work together, if we believe, if we're 100% certain that we're the ones to guide you toward that dream, then we're gonna talk about what it looks like. But either way, show up coachable to that call. It's going to be the most clarifying career conversation that you've ever had, because we are going to focus on the problem in a neutral, empowering way, and we're also going to help you create the solution and create your dream. So if that's what you're open to and that's what you want, because you want more and you're just not sure how to get it, you want more and you know that you're biased because they're your problems. Having a professional coach on the other side to help you solve them removes the bias and helps you get toward even more fulfillment and joy and wonder and magic and awe and money and other amazing experiences in your life. That's why we're here. That's what we're here to do. So it's time for some of you to book that call, thepeoplestack.com/book. We are professional solution creators. Own it. Take care. Aloha. And that wraps up another episode of the People Stack podcast. Thanks for listening and for supporting our mission. We are all helping to positively transform the tech world, one tech leader at a time. I have so much gratitude for all of you, for our badass clients, our loyal listeners, every one of you who we've worked with. And I have to give a special shout out to my husband, Rob Allen. He's my co-CEO, the love of my life, PeopleStack Client Zero. And it is such a fun ride, finding new, ridiculously unreasonable levels of prosperity, joy, and fun with him every single day. And a quick thank you to Ketza for creating the catchy, inspiring theme music that we get to use in our podcast. We love each and every one of you. Big, big hugs, aloha, and mahalo.